tell you, friends, it's far better to suffer discipline on this earth and come to repentance and make heaven than to go through this life without any discipline or any correction, living however you want, and end up in hellfire. It's better to suffer a punishment as a due just consequence of our sin, and through that punishment become sanctified and purified and make it to heaven, rather than to go on living a careless, uncontrolled life and end up in hellfire. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. Last week, Reverend Dr. Steve Asante challenged us with a hot word. One thing that I keep thinking about, he said, the Christian life is a life of amputation. Hey! Jesus said, if your right arm offends you, it's better to cut it off and lose your right arm and end up in heaven than to keep both your arms and be a strong macho man and end up in hell. Jesus said, it's better to lose your right eye. If it offends you, pull it out, because it's better to go through life blind in the physical that you might make heaven than to have your two eyes and end up burning in hellfire. That's a hard saying, but it's true. And the same thing is true about undergoing discipline. It's better to be punished here on earth for your sin than to escape in this life and suffer eternal punishment in hell. It's the mercy of God that says no to you. It's the mercy of God that puts up barriers to you. It's the mercy of God that punishes you and disciplines you and chastens you so that you might be sanctified and shapened and repent of your sin, that you might make heaven. And God, help us to see your truth. If the prodigal son had not suffered for his sin, he would never have repented. If he'd not gone down into the pit with the pigs, he would never have come to his senses. It's the mercy of God that let him go into poverty and to suffer for his sins. And it's God's mercy that is working in your life today to discipline you through your fathers. I'm sorry to say, but some of you are fighting against the Holy Spirit. God is trying to bring discipline to one of his children. God is trying to bring correction to a prodigal. And you think you are more merciful than God. You want to protect the prodigal from the punishment God is giving his own child. You want the sinner to avoid all consequences of his sin. That's not mercy. It's ignorance. God allows us to be disciplined so that we can change. That's why the Bible admonishes us to obey and submit to spiritual authority. Turn your notes to page 2 and listen to Hebrews 13:17, where the Bible says, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. And in all honesty, I don't like disciplining people, and I don't like correcting people, and I don't like confronting people, but I am responsible before God for your life, and I will give account to God for you. And if you're going astray, and if you've fallen into sin, and if discipline and correction and rebuke are necessary, and even if punishment and consequences are necessary, I will mete it out without fear or favor, because my goal is to see you redeemed and sanctified and changed. Better to suffer the punishment for 3 months or 6 months or 2 years and let your life be shaped by the Spirit of God than to be told it's okay, just go on your way, and you end up in hellfire. Do you have anyone in your life that can tell you no? Do you have anyone in your life who can tell you don't do that and you will withdraw and listen and obey? You say, well, I'm a mature man. I'm a mature woman. I'm old enough to run my own affairs without anyone telling me what to do. I won't comply. But friends, we never outgrow our need for a father figure. We never become so mature we cannot be corrected. I have fathers in my life I will listen to, that if they tell me no, I will say, I'll obey. You need a father. What other types of friends do you need? There on page 2, we see our second friend. We need faithful friends. Just take your pen and fill in the blank with the word faithful friends. Listen to this beautiful passage found in Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Friends can be such fantastic gifts from God to help us through life. Had the prodigal son had good friends, he may not have gone astray. Instead, the Bible tells us he met with disaster because he had a wrong view of his father and a wrong view of his friends. And sadly, many of us fall into the same trap. Our wrong view of friends is thinking that friends are simply party mates and playmates. Hey, tally! That's why verse 13 says, he wasted all his money on wild living. It's friends who can party and friends who can play and friends who can have fun. But friends are not just playmates and party mates. Friends should be viewed as teammates who can help you succeed in your Christian life and achieve God's destiny for you. When you see your friends as teammates, you'll realize that sometimes they will need to advise you and correct you and tell you things that may not be pleasant. Sometimes you'll need to agree together on a course of action that is not your first choice, but it's the right move to make. Charlie may make smooth jazz music with you, but is he the kind of friend who can harmonize in your spiritual life? Kojo may make good moves on the football field, but will he help you move forward in your Christian life? Ama may party like there's no tomorrow, but will her friendship help you build a better future? For see, when you only see friends as playmates and party mates, you won't help each other in the tough times of life. When the music is over and the drink is gone and the show ends, they will leave you in a pit like they left the prodigal son. When the money ran out and the food and drink was over and the music ended, they all walked out of his life because their only purpose in being with him was to play and to party. And because of that, no one gave him anything. And when you have that type of mentality about your friends, you think all they are is someone to come around and have fun with me. The Bible says when they left him, no one gave him anything. Not just nothing to eat, not just money, but most importantly, no direction, no advice, no encouragement. There was no one there to give out their hand and say, come on, let me pull you up, let me carry you. In the time of need, he had no friends. Where were his friends when he was making wrong financial investments? Where were his friends when his life was shipwrecked by sin? They were nowhere to be found because they didn't see friendship as a teammate who had to tell the truth. I'm going to be very frank with you this morning. I think one of the most greatest deceptions in the Church of Jesus Christ today is in this very area. We've twisted the truth. We think if someone is our friend, if someone loves us, they'll never tell us anything unpleasant. They'll never tell us anything we don't want to hear. They'll never correct us. They'll never instruct us. They'll always just be in the background applauding for us. But a friend is someone who loves you enough to tell you the truth. A friend is someone who can see when you're going wrong and correct you. For if I really love somebody, I must tell them the truth. If I see them going astray, I must speak up or I don't love them. That's the difficult lesson we learned from the tragedy of the fatal crash of Korean Air Flight 081. In August 1997, Flight 081 was flying from Korea to Guam. It was a stormy night with a lot of rain and clouds were covering the land. But there shouldn't have been a problem. Other planes landed at the Guam airport in that storm. The plane was in good condition. The pilot, Captain Park, was a veteran pilot who knew how to fly the plane. But at a point in time, instead of trusting his navigational readings, Captain Park made a decision to attempt to land the plane by visual sight. Just before 1:30 in the morning, the plane broke through the clouds. He saw the lights of the Guam airport and thought, everything's going to be all right. But in a matter of minutes, the clouds came back and he lost all sight. Without knowing what he'd done, he gradually began to bring the plane down to where he thought the airport was. 500 feet, 400 feet, 300 feet. But still, they couldn't see the lights. 200 feet, 100 feet. Where is the airport? They shouted. Where is the airport? 50, 40, 30. Where are the lights? Until the plane crashed into the side of Nimitz Hill, killing all 233 people on board. When they recovered the voice data recording of the cockpit, they discovered to their surprise that Captain Park had made this error, but they also discovered that the co-pilot had felt uncomfortable about the decision, but had failed to speak up and stop him. From the conversation in the cockpit, it's obvious the co-pilot didn't agree. He kept trying to make suggestions, but he was afraid to come out and tell the truth. He was afraid to come out and say, "Captain, you've made the wrong choice. Abort the landing." Until just seconds before they crash, the co-pilot shouts out, "Abort! Abort!" But it was too late. Friend, you may not like to hear the truth, but if you don't have friends who can speak up when disaster looms, you're headed for destruction. I think the reason why we don't like to tell other friends the truth and we don't like to be told the truth is because we're proud. We think that we know it all and we don't want anybody else to talk to us. And you can see this in a lot of people, even Christians today. You try to tell them anything and they get offended. "I'm offended. I'm offended. I'm offended. I'm offended." Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Friend, I'm not judging you. But if I see you headed for destruction and I cry out, "Stop," I'm not judging you. I'm trying to save you. But because of pride inside of us, because of our own weakness, we don't want to tell anybody and we don't want to be told. And here comes the heart of the matter. The truth that you need to pack up and take home with you today is this. The reason the prodigal son had bad friends is because he was bad. The reason the prodigal son had unfaithful friends is because he was unfaithful. The reason he had greedy friends who only wanted to take from him was because that's how he treated his own father. The reason the prodigal son was abandoned and betrayed was because that's what he did to others around him. And we've got to understand today that your lack of the right friends is not just because there's no one out there. Your lack of the right friends is not simply because of lack of opportunity. Most of us lack the right kind of friends because there's a problem within us. That's why James chapter 4 verse 1 says, "What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you?" And James identifies the main problem in the right friendship is a problem from within us. That's why I say if you want better friends, you have to be a better friend. For the type of friends you attract is determined by the type of person you are. Ladies, can I just talk to you like a father today? I mean, don't get offended. Some of you poor ladies, God bless you, I love you. Some of you ladies, you're so sweet. You wonder, all the men that come around me, they're all bad. I need a nice man who can marry me and have children, take care of me, be good to me. Sister, the reason why you're attracting bad men is because you're using bait that attracts bad men. If you dress like a prostitute, only men who visit prostitutes will come after you. Hello. Tell your neighbor he's talking about you. And I mean that. If you dress to appeal to the flesh, only fleshly men will be attracted to you. You come around me looking like a prostitute, I'm going to run away from you. You will never be my friend. Stay away from me. My wife would kill me. And it's in every area of our life. We attract people who are like us. The type of friends we get are determined by who we are. You've got to understand that the men who will go after you when you dress with more flesh than fabric are not the kind of men who will marry you. If you want a faithful, God-fearing man, live a faithful, God-fearing life. The same principle applies in every area of our life. If someone will gossip about Amma to you, they will surely gossip about you to Amma. Thank you. Are you speaking from experience? God bless you. Listen to Proverbs 17, verse 4. Wrongdoers, everybody say wrongdoers. Let's read it together. Ready, go. Wrongdoers eagerly listen to gossip. Liars pay close attention. So if you're a gossip, you're going to attract what kind of friends? What kind of friends will be attracted to you when you're gossiping? Wrongdoers and liars. If you want better friends, you have to become a better person. For no matter what area of your life, that will attract people. Some of you, I'm sorry, I can never be friends with you. I love you, I pray for you, but I can't be your friend because every time I get around you, Reverend, let me tell you what she did. Let me tell you what he said. Let me tell you what I hear. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to listen to gossip. And that's all you have for me, so I can't be your friend. You will attract other gossips and you'll find yourself in a snare of betrayal because that's who you are. But if you become a good friend to others, you will attract good friends. Proverbs 18:24 says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. So shift, number two. Let's read it together. I need open and accountable relationships with friends who can walk with me, sharpen me, and provoke me to love and good works. Because friends are teammates who help change us for the better. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Listen, I know we all need friends who love us just the way we are. My wife loves me just the way I am. Thank God for her life. I mean, if, you know, I won't tell you all the bad things about me. She loves me anyway. She sees me as I am. Can't hide from her. And she loves me. We all need friends who love us the way we are. But we need friends who not only love us the way we are, but love us too much to leave us the way we are. For if you love someone and you accept them, it doesn't mean you accept them to continue in their sin. And our goal for our friendship should be to sharpen one another and change one another. And sometimes that requires tough love. Everybody say tough love. It requires that we stand with Jesus and stand with His Word to condemn sin. And my question to you today is, whose side are you on? Because Jesus loved the sinner, but He always, always, always condemned the sin. And Jesus punished the sin, and Jesus came out against the sin, and Jesus spoke strongly against the sin. Remember, He called people a brood of vipers. He gave the church of Jesus Christ authority to judge the sin. And we've got to rise up and decide whose side are we on? Because no matter who it is, no matter what it is, I'm on the side of Jesus. And if you're opposing Jesus, I'm sorry, I'm with Him, not with you. At least Anita liked that. Thank God for that. I got somebody in the house today. Amen. Somebody say amen. See, what I'm trying to say is we need to learn to walk in balance. I know this is a tough, deep teaching, but I'm giving you everything because this is the last friendship, and next week we're going on to Easter. Hallelujah. But we've got to learn to walk in balance. Some of you are more merciful than God. Oh, let it go, let it go, let it go. You're more merciful than God. God doesn't let it go if you don't repent. The most merciful, the most loving, the most gracious Jesus Christ who died to redeem you is going to send people to hell. Because God is merciful and He's just. God is holy and He's loving. And God has the balance that we need to find. Listen, friends, we welcome the repentant. If you're here, you are a prostitute, a drug abuser, a thief, a criminal, an alcoholic. You are welcome in this church, but you're welcome to change. We plead with you, don't continue in your sin. Come and repent and find the grace and forgiveness of God and move with the righteous. But we stand against sin, for we need to see the destruction it causes. Listen, friends, if God allows sin into heaven, heaven will become hell. If God allows sin into heaven, there would be murder and rape and racism and civil war and stealing, and you'd be trying to protect your golden harp from some thief who came and stole it. And if we allow sinners to go unpunished in the church, then the church will cease to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Critics of our church do not understand the truth of God, and they do not understand us. The funny thing is, we're criticized from both sides. There's a camp that says, oh, those people at Agape, they are too loose. They're too liberal. Did you see how the ladies in their church dress? Yes, if you bring 100 sinners from UG to church, they're going to dress like sinners. Hello? They don't clean themselves up to come to Jesus. You come to Jesus to get cleaned up. What do you think? If we invite sinners into the church, some of them are going to come looking like prostitutes because that's what they are. Oh, you don't like me today. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Ah, see agape? See agape? See how they dress? They are sinners. No, sinners are here. Any sinners here today? I know. I see some of you. Yeah. I saw you at Aphrodisiac last night. I know. Yeah. You don't clean yourself and then come to Jesus. You come to Jesus and let Him clean you. So there are going to be people throughout the history of this church who are going to walk in and we go, Right. We welcome them if they're ready to change. But then there's the other kind, criticizing us from the other side. If we discipline anybody, if we allow the consequence of their own sin to bite them because God is trying to sanctify them, we get, they are harsh, they are unloving, they're no good, look at how they behave. Oh, friend, we need to understand. If you love someone, you tell them the truth. You try to bring them to repentance. For Proverbs 27:5-6 says, an open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than the kisses, many kisses from an enemy. And we as a church are charged. In Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how we may spur one another to love and good works. We're charged as the people of God to think about one another. How can we help change one another? That brings us to our third type of friend. Turn your notes over to page 3. Our third friends are followers. Just fill in the blank with the word followers. See, what happens is when you begin to love, when you begin to find faithful friends, when you become a friend of people, you start reaching out and investing in others. Throughout this sermon series, we've been focused on how you can get friends and how your friends can help you. But here at the end of the sermon series, we've got to shift the focus back away from ourselves and on to others. For 1 Corinthians 10:24. Says, don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. And interestingly enough, when the prodigal son comes back home, when he's forgiven and received because he repented, then a third relationship is introduced to the story. And at the end of the story, we see him welcomed by his father, and then his senior brother comes in. The brother refuses to greet him. He doesn't enter the celebration. He's not interested in welcoming the prodigal. He thinks he doesn't deserve another chance. He wouldn't advise him when he went astray, and he won't welcome him when he comes back. Had the older brother spoken to the junior brother before he left home, perhaps he could have saved his life. But his attitude is the problem in the church today. His attitude is, my brother is not my problem. Listen to Luke 15:30-32. The older brother says, but when this son of yours, everybody say this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. Then listen to the father. My son, the father said, this brother of yours, everybody say this brother of yours, was dead and is alive again, was lost and found. We tend to say, oh God, this brother of yours, these people of yours, this sister of yours, this daughter of yours. But God says, this brother of yours, this sister of yours, we are our brother's keeper. And we need to begin to invest in others who can live lives following our example. Sadly, this is lacking in too much of the church today, but I challenge and call upon this church to begin to be a people who submit to fathers, to begin to be a people who are faithful friends and who will reach out to others and help bring up followers so that they too can enter the kingdom of heaven. Oftentimes we're separated from our followers because of external issues. We've listened to gossip or we've believed a slander. Like Proverbs 16:28 says, a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. But we need to shift our thinking today. And our third shift is this. Let's read it together. I need friends I can invest my life into in love and service. For as every principle of God's word is of sowing and reaping, so is friendship. When you sow friendship, love, care, godly concern and oversight into the lives of others, you will reap that harvest in your own life. Proverbs 11:30 says, the seeds of good deeds become a tree of life. A wise person wins friends. And as you reach out and begin to friend others, to lift them up higher and love them as Christ loved you, you will become a tree of life and you will win the friends you need. We all need a father who can tell us no. We all need faithful friends who can tell us the truth. And we all need to invest in someone else so that we can help build them up and become a tree of life in this and the life to come.
Experience deep worship. Hear life-changing sermons by Pastor Whitcomb.
And the Bible says all the people saw it and they lifted their hands and says, Jehovah, He's the Lord. Jehovah is the Lord. Jehovah is the Lord.
Enjoy a truly friendly experience. Join us at Agape House in East Lagoon every weekend. A warm welcome awaits you. Agape House New Testament Church, Agape Land, East Lagoon. Saturday night church from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. First Sunday service from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Second Sunday service, 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m.
Join us next week, at this time, on this station, for another episode of Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb. Revelation with Reverend Richard C. Whitcomb was brought to you by Revelation Media Ministry.